A logo appears in bold slanting letters over a blue planet in space. Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now, in a painting, a collie stands on rolling hills above a lake. Words appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Lassie Come Home. Copyright 1943. With Roddy McDowell as Joe Karaklough. Donald Crisp as Sam Karaklough. Dame Mae Whitty as Dally. Edmund Gwenn as Rowley. Nigel Bruce as the Duke of Rutling. Elsa Lanchester as Mrs. Karaklough. And Lassie. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service at WGBH. Described by Carol Hostetler. Read by Miles Neff. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. Titles continue. Produced by Samuel Marks. Screenplay by Hugo Butler. Based upon the novel by Eric Knight. Elizabeth Taylor as Priscilla. Ben Webster as Daniel Fadden. J. Patrick O'Malley as Hines. Alan Napier as Jock. Arthur Shields as Andrew. John Rogers as Snickers, and Alec Craig as Buckles. Directed by Fred M. Wilcox. Words appear. The author of Lassie Come Home was a man of two countries. Born in England, he survived the First World War as a British soldier, only to die in the Second World War, killed in the line of duty in the uniform of the country he had adopted, America. With reverence and pride, we dedicate this picturization of his best-loved story to the late Major Eric Knight. Now, on a hill dotted with rocks and grass, a man holds one hand in his jacket pocket as he walks with a brown and white collie. Green fields stretch below them, bordered by graceful oak trees.
Lassie Come Home is the story of a dog, but it's also the story of a people, as strong and enduring in peace as they are in war. The people of Yorkshire, the county of Eric Knight's birth and boyhood.
Now in a village.
This man is a Yorkshireman. Sam Karaklough and his dog, Lassie. Lassie is Sam's only saleable possession in the dark pre-war days of unemployment, empty pockets, and the dole.
Sam meets other men.
Hello, Sam. You here, too?
Hello, Tom. Alan?
Hello, Sam.
Hello, Lassie. Good day to you, my girl.
She looks champion, Sam. Tell the truth, Tom. Have you ever seen anything better?
No. I was only talking to my missus tonight, Sam. That's just what I said to her. I said if ever there was a better dog in all Yorkshire than Sam Karaklough's Lassie, I said then she must have died before ever I was born. That's what I said.
She's in pretty fair shape, she is. But I do believe her coat could be a wee bit shinier.
You know, Sam, they do say that cod liver oil is good to make a dog's coat shiny.
Some of these fancy breeders give it to their dogs pretty regular.
If we could afford cod liver oil for our dogs, perhaps we could get ourselves a little bit of beef once in a while.
Lassie raises her long, thin snout towards Sam.
It's Joe she's thinking of at school.
Has she ever been late, Sam?
Never. There seems to be something inside her telling her when it's time.
As Lassie looks up fretfully, Sam grins and points at the town clock on a tall stone tower. The clock reads 4:05. Sam steps aside and raises an arm.
Well, go along then.
Lassie runs up a cobblestone street, past the butcher, who stands outside of his shop. He pulls a pocket watch out from under his blue and white striped apron, checks the time, and smiles. A cobbler nods as Lassie trots by. The collie's long brown fur bounces. In a classroom, children read books at their wooden desks. One brown-haired boy looks up at a wall clock and smiles.
Joe Karaklough, apply yourself to your lessons, lad.
Joe nods and lowers his head. Outside, Lassie leaps over a 4-foot wooden gate, then sits in the shade by a massive tree's trunk. Inside, Joe's teacher glances toward the window, then raises a bell. The children jump up from their desks and race to a wall where their caps hang on pegs. Joe grabs his cap and runs downstairs. He slows as a grown-up on the landing frowns. Outside, Joe pauses on the stone steps, then runs to Lassie by the tree.
Lassie! Lassie!
Kneeling, Joe grins and ruffles behind Lassie's ears. She puts one paw on his leg, then takes his bundle of books in her mouth. They run through the open gate. As Lassie gallops around several school children, Joe hurries between them to catch up. Now they run up a dirt road to a country cottage. Lassie leaps over the stone wall as Joe straddles it. Together they burst through the cottage door.
Joe, lad! Joe! Must the hose come in like thunder off the moors?
Sorry, Mother. Lassie and me, we want some bread and jam, don't we now, Lassie?
Bread you can have. The jam you'll do without.
If there's no jam, honey will do.
Honey, is it? Some nice beef dripping I have. And that's what you'll get.
Thanks, Mother.
Now, here you are, lad. Run along. Have a good time with Lassie today.
I will, Mother.
Joe bounds to the door, then stops.
But why especially today, Mother?
Did I say today especially, lad? Oh, I didn't mean to. Now, run along.
Lassie follows Joe outside. He gives her some of his bread. As they run toward a field, Sam Carraclough approaches. Sam returns Joe's wave, then goes to the cottage gate. He glances back at Joe and Lassie, then faces his wife, Helen.
Did they see the Duke today, Sam?
Aye. He'll be by tomorrow.
He takes out some coins.
Here.
He drapes an arm across her shoulders. Together they watch Joe and Lassie run towards stony hills draped in shadow. Morning. In his bedroom, Joe sleeps snuggled under a pale yellow blanket. In the hallway, Lassie opens the doorknob with her mouth, pads over to Joe's bed, and licks his hand. She nuzzles him, then climbs halfway into the bed.
Oh, hello, Lassie.
Joe sits up.
Downstairs.
Lassie jumps down, swings the door open with her paw, and enters the hallway. Joe plunks back onto the mattress and pulls the comforter over his head. Lassie peeks back inside. She raises her ears, then trots over and tugs the blanket off of Joe.
I'll get up.
Grim-faced, Sam enters. He watches Lassie.
My father.
Joe stands by his bed.
Look, Father. Look what I've taught Lassie.
He throws out his arms and bows. Lassie extends her front legs and lowers her belly to the ground in a curtsy.
You seem worried, Father. Is it about your work?
Oh, no, lad, it's not that. But whatever trouble comes, remember, we've got to be men together. Do you see?
Aye, Father.
Well, make haste now. You'll be late for school. Come.
Later, two girls walk along the stone wall that surrounds the sunny schoolyard. Joe arrives wearing his cap, jacket, and shorts. He rolls himself over the wall, then watches Lassie follow. The collie bounds over with Joe's books in her mouth. Joe climbs back atop the wall and balances. Lassie leaps up too. Single file, they walk along the wall, then jump into the schoolyard. Joe bends down low and Lassie leaps over him. At the school's front door, Joe takes his books and pets Lassie.
Thank you, Lassie.
He starts into the school.
What's the matter, Lassie? Don't you want me to go? I'll be out four as usual. Bide well, Lassie.
As the heavy doors close, Lassie paces, then paws at them. She leans her head close and listens, then walks away. Later, she bounds up the dirt road toward home. Outside the cottage gate, the Carraclough stand by three men and a carriage. A well-dressed man with a gray mustache watches Lassie intently.
Beauty, Carraclough. She's a beauty.
She's just come back from seeing my lad to school, sir.
15 guineas. Wasn't that the price you said?
Yes, sir.
Well, I got the best of it, Karaklov. I am an honest man, so I got to tell you I got the best of it. Are you quite sure that you want to sell her?
No, Your Grace. I have to.
Well, it's a fair price. Hines, put that collar on her and lead her from the back of the cart.
Yes, sir.
Well, get a move on.
One man pulls off Lassie's braided collar, then slips a smooth one with a leash over her head. Sam pets her.
Well, good day, Mrs. Karaklov. Good day, Karaklov. Good day, sir. All right, Roger.
The carriage rolls away. Hines sits at the rear, dangling his legs and holding the leash as Lassie trots behind.
Happen we should be telling Joe.
He'll be finding this out for himself.
Lassie looks back at Joe's parents, but the leash and carriage tug her along. Now at the school, Joe races down the stairs to the front stoop and glances around. Merry children spread to either side of him on their way outside. Joe stares at the vacant grass under the schoolyard's massive tree. He knits his brow and looks left and right, then runs to the tree and circles it.
Lassie!
He stands by the gnarled tree trunk, his books slung over one shoulder. His eyes search the schoolyard.
Lassie!
Joe races out the open gate. Later, he runs along the dirt road toward home, his shock of brown hair bouncing. He reaches the cottage gate and swings it open. Inside, Helen sets the table. Sam sits nearby.
Mother, something's happened to Lassie. She didn't meet me at school today.
Joe's parents steal a glance at each other. Joe looks at them fretfully, then runs to a wall where Lassie's braided collar hangs on a hook.
What is it? What's wrong?
Oh, well. You may as well know it right off. Lassie won't be waiting for you at school anymore.
Why not? What's happened?
Because she's sold. That's why not.
Sold? Sold? Why did you sell her? Lassie, why did you sell her?
Now she's sold and gone and done with it. Let's say no more about
but
it. Now, no more. Sit down and have your tea. Go on. Sam, come and eat.
Sam looks up with a frown. He walks to the front door, takes his cap, and leaves. Joe's mother glares at the boy.
Now look what you've done. Got the father all angry. I suppose you're happy now. Come on, Joe. Eat up.
I don't want any.
Dogs. Dogs! If you ask me, I'm glad Lassie's gone. That I am. More trouble to take care of than a child. Now it's done, I'm glad. I'm glad that I am.
She buries her face in her apron. Joe hangs his head, tears glistening on his cheeks. As he stares downward, his mother faces him.
Come here, Joe. Look, Joe. You're getting to be a big lad now, and you can understand. Lassie cost a lot of money to feed, and we've got to have food on the table. We've got to pay the rent, and, well, we just couldn't afford it. That's all. If these are poor times, Joe, you mustn't upset your father. He's worried enough as it is, and, well... That's all. She's gone.
With Joe beside her, Helen turns briskly back to facing the table. Joe sits on the arm of her chair.
Couldn't we buy her back someday?
No, Joe. No. Lassie was a very valuable dog. Much too much for us. But we'll get another dog someday. Just wait. Times might pick up and we'll get another tyke. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I don't want anything. I only want Lassie.
Frowning, she pats Joe's back. Now Lassie lies beside a chain-link fence.
Priscilla! Priscilla, I'm going down the kennel.
The well-dressed Duke walks his formal garden. A young girl sneaks on his heels.
Hines! Hines!
The girl hides just behind him.
The world's coming to it. Sounds no good. Country's going to pot.
Nonsense.
What's that?
I said nonsense.
I thought that's what you said. Fine state the world's in when the only person with courage enough to answer me back is my own granddaughter. That's because you're like me, my dear.
She kisses his cheek.
Well, I'm glad you turned up. I want to show you my new dog. Finest collie I ever set eyes on. I've been after her for 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah, 3 years. Last year I offered the fella 15 guineas for it. Told him it was my rock bottom limit. He didn't seem to think so. Held out for another 6 months, and then the other day he told me he'd take it.
Was she worth waiting for all that time?
Worth it? You never saw another one as good. Look at her.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Priscilla kneels at the kennel fence, facing Lassie.
Oh. Collie. Collie.
The black-haired girl snaps her fingers, then watches Lassie at the end of a long row of dog pens. Lassie lowers her head.
She doesn't seem well, Grandfather.
Nonsense. Nothing wrong with the dog. Nothing at all. Hines! Where on earth's that idiot hiding? Hines!
Come in, your grace. Come in. Yes, sir. You call me, sir?
Hines, what's the matter with that dog? She looks a bit off colour.
Well, sir, they spoil them in them there cottages. Feeds them with a silver spoon, as you might say. But I'll see she gets over it, sir. She'll take her food kennel away in a few days.
Well, you keep an eye on her, Hines. You keep an eye on that dog.
Yes, sir, I will, sir.
You better. If you don't, I'll tan your hide, my lad. That's what I'll do.
Yes, your grace.
Come along, Charles.
Priscilla takes her grandfather's hand and accompanies him away, glancing at Lassie. In a lab coat, Hines frowns at the collie.
I'll see you eat before I'm through with you. I'll see you eat if I have to shove it down your throat.
Hines leaves. Lassie raises her long, sleek head. White fur forms a fluffy ring around her neck. As she gazes off, the wall clock at Joe's school reads 4:07. In her pen, Lassie stands and paws at the door. She paces back and forth, then nudges her black nose in between the door and its post. She nips at the fence, then trots restlessly to the back of the pen. Doubling back, Lassie bites at the chain-link door, then starts to dig under it. Later, she paws vigorously at a 2-foot-wide hole. She wedges her head under the door, turns her long-haired body sideways, and wiggles under. Reaching the other side, she pulls herself out by her front paws and runs free down the garden path. Later, Lassie leaps over the schoolyard gate. As she waits by the tree, Joe steps from the large school doorway amid a jumble of children. He stops short, his mouth agape. Lassie dips her head and shifts eagerly on her feet. Joe runs to her and lovingly ruffles behind her ears.
Lassie, you come back.
She puts one white paw on his leg, then follows him through the open gate. At home, Sam reads in a chair. Helen works at the sink. Lassie raises her ears. A thin white stripe traces down her russet snout. As Sam eyes her, puffing sternly on his pipe, Lassie's ears droop. Sam turns away. Lassie nuzzles her head under Sam's arm and wags her tail. As Sam goes back to his paper, shunning Lassie, Helen watches with her arms folded.
I was coming out of school and there she was, waiting for me right where she always is. I could see she was lonely for us, all of us, so I thought...
No.
But, Mother, she's come home. We could hide her, we could say...
No. Now, get her out of here. Oh, you know it will have that Hines around here. That know-it-all Hines.
Joe's gaze droops. As Lassie lies down by Sam's chair, the boy brightens. He kneels by Lassie, then looks up at his father.
Hey, Father, you might at least say something to her. It isn't her fault that she's happy to be home. Just pat her.
Sam peeks at Lassie.
You know, happen they don't know how to care for her right up at the kennels. I wonder if they understand how to feed her properly.
The men in this village think more of their tykes than they do of their own flesh and blood.
But truly, Mother, she does look thin. I do believe they're not feeding her right.
But that, I wouldn't put it past that Mr. Know-It-All Hines to steal the best part of the dog meat for himself.
Hey, bad gum. She does look a bit poorly. I'd better get her a little summit. She could do with it, or I don't know dogs.
She takes Lassie's bowl from under the sink. Sam watches his wife.
But the minute she's fed, back she goes.
Joe runs to a closet and gets a dog brush. Smiling and tipping his head, he runs the brush through Lassie's coat. Sam watches Joe, scowls, and takes his pipe out of his mouth.
That's no way to do it, lad. If they're going to do a job, learn to do it right. Here.
Kneeling, Sam runs the brush briskly through Lassie's long fur. At the sink, Helen ladles stew into Lassie's bowl.
Now, Sam, that's enough brushing. Let her eat her food and take her back to where she belongs.
Well, you wouldn't have me take her back looking like a mucky Monday wash, would you?
Look, Sam, if you don't hurry her back soon, that man hides.
I thought so. I thought as how I'd find her here.
I was just cleaning her up a bit, and then I were off to bring her back.
Yes, I'll bet you was. Well, it so happens I'll take her back myself. Seeing as how I happened to drop in, as you might say.
Hines collars the dog.
I wasn't born yesterday. I know all about you Yorkshiremen and your come-home dogs. Training them to run straight back home when they're sold so as you can sell them to someone else. Well, it won't work with me, it won't. Because I know a trick or two myself, I do. And, well, good evening.
Hines hurries out as Sam steps menacingly toward him. As Sam puts his arm around Joe, Helen frowns.
I won't have him walking in here and keeping his hat on as if he's the very Duke himself.
Joe and Sam sit by the fire.
And all on account of a dog. Well, she's gone. And if you ask me, good riddance. Now, Hutton, we can have a little peace. I hope I never see her again. I do that.
Sam picks up his newspaper and rests his face on his broad fist. Joe sits still, his palms on his knees. Now, at the Duke's long row of kennels, Lassie sits up in her pen and looks around. Panting in the sun, she gets up and pads over to the door, now reinforced along the bottom with more chain-link fencing. As Lassie paws at the door, Hines watches with his hands on his hips. His upper lip curls in a sneer. Lassie begins to dig below the door.
You won't get out now, milady.
Lassie trots to the back of her pen, away from Hines.
Not if I know anything.
Lassie watches him go, her panting tongue sliding between her canine teeth. Lassie trots toward the front of her pen, then stops 5 feet from the fence. She glances at the top bar. Shifting on her feet, she peers outside the pen. She runs at the fence, leaps up, and hooks her forelegs over the top. Twisting awkwardly, she drops back down inside the pen. She gets ready for a second try, putting 10 feet between herself and the fence. Taking a running start, she leaps again. She drops back down inside. Returning to the pen's tall fence, she stands on her hind legs and inspects it. Lassie looks at the other dogs down the long row of kennels, then trots way back to the rear of the pen. She paces, breaks into a run, and leaps to the top bar. Lassie pulls herself over. Lassie gallops off. Later, Hines stomps up to the Karaclough's front door, wearing black jodhpurs, knee-high boots, and a cap. Sam opens the door.
Come on, come on. Where is she?
So that's why he's not home.
Aye.
They're together. Him and Lassie. She's got away again. He's run away with her so that we can't take her back.
Come now, lass, don't thee worry. The lad will not have gone far. I think I know where he'll be. I'll be off to find her.
Come on now, where's that there dog of mine?
Take thy hat off.
Now, don't you start no trouble. You better not start no trouble now.
Sam bumps Hines with his chest.
Get along home with you. The dog will be there as soon as I can find her.
Sam puts on his cap and strides out to the field. Hines glances nervously over his shoulder and takes to the road. In the hills, Joe leans against a rock, Lassie's head on his shoulder.
It's all right, Lassie. We can live out here on the moors, and they'll never find us. We can live in the caves. Hap and I can run errands for the butcher. And he'll give me scraps of meat for you. And perhaps even a bone. And then we'll never have to go home. The Duke will never find you. And we can always be together.
As Lassie puts her paw on Joe's stomach, Sam strides uphill.
Joe.
He finds Joe and Lassie.
Come on, lad.
Joe's face drops. He picks up his books and follows his father. Lassie runs ahead, wagging her tail. Later, at the Duke's estate, Joe and his father walk with Lassie across manicured lawns. Elsewhere, Priscilla tucks an orange rose in her grandfather's lapel.
For me?
Yes.
Get it.
Wearing a sky blue shirt and jacket, the girl looks up.
Who are those people, Grandfather?
The Duke sees Sam approaching, cap in hand. Joe and Lassie follow.
Carraclough, what are you doing with my dog?
It's Lassie, sir.
I'm not blind, my good man, but what are you doing with her? Well, she's run away again, and I'm bringing her back. What? Again? Has she run away before? Well, I'm bringing her back again, sir. Hines! Hines!
Coming, Your Grace, coming.
Hines ties a spaniel to a tree and races over.
Has this dog ever run away before?
Well, sir, it's this way.
Well, did she or didn't she?
In a way, sir, she did. She dug her way out. I didn't want to disturb Your Grace about her, and I'll jolly well see she don't get away again, sir. I'll see you that.
Yes, you'd better. You're an idiot, Hines. I'm beginning to think you're an utter nincompoop. Pin her up, man. If she gets out again, well, you can get out too. Thank you, Carraclough, for bringing her back.
Yes, sir.
The Duke leaves.
I'll pin her up. And if she ever tries to get away...
Sam here. Steps on Hines' foot.
I brought my lad with me today to pin her up. It's him she runs home to see. He'll pin her up and bid her stay. Now, I'm sorry I didn't notice I was stepping on thy foot.
Well, the kennels are over here.
Come along, Joe, lad.
As Hines opens Lassie's pen, Sam approaches with Joe and Lassie. Priscilla trails behind.
Come on now, get in with you.
Come along, Lassie, get inside here. Come on.
Sam points to the door. Slowly, Lassie pads into the pen, then glances back at Joe. Hines shuts her in and walks away, sneering at Sam. Joe hangs his fingers on the chain-link door and looks somberly into the pen.
Come along now, lad. Get it over with. Bid her stay. And tell her she can't be coming home no more.
Sam pats his shoulder and walks away. As Joe kneels, Lassie raises a paw. Joe holds it.
Stay here and bide, happy Lassie. Don't come home no more. Don't run away no more. Because that doesn't belong to us anymore. We're not allowed to see the ever. You've got a nice place here. So don't plague us by coming running home. Stay here and leave us be. Don't ever come home again.
Joe's eyes fill with tears. He stands quickly and follows his father down the garden path. Priscilla stops Joe.
Joe. Please, Joe. What do you want? I hope you won't worry too much about Lassie. I'll take care of her. Really, I will. I'll take care of her for you. So you won't have to worry any at all.
There's nothing much you can do. These fine kennels and a special man in order to take care of her.
But there must be something I can do. Isn't there now?
Well, when a goat gets a little dull, you might try straining the water through some linseed. That picks her up a bit.
I will. Is there anything else?
Well...
Come along, Joe, lad. Come.
Well, it isn't good for her to be shut up in that cage all the time. Lassie likes a good walk, Lassie does. She needs the exercise. Thank you. Thank you very much.
He tips his cap and runs off. Priscilla looks at the pen.
Poor Lassie.
She steps over to the collie and hangs her hands on the chain link.
Poor Lassie. Poor girl.
Lassie holds her paw up to Priscilla through the fence. Later, Joe and his father sit in the rocky hills.
You're not angry with me, are you, Father?
No, Joe. A father can't get truly angry at his own lad. Never. It's just that he wants you to understand how things are. And you mustn't think we're too hard on thee. We don't want to be. It's just that, well, back of it all, Joe, a chap's got to be honest. Never thee forget it all thy entire life. And there's a funny thing about honesty. There's no two ways about it. There's only one way about it. Honest is honest. Do you see?
It's about Lassie you're talking.
Joe, when you've sold a chap something, and you've taken his brass, and you've spent it, well then, done's done. Lassie was sold, and that's all.
But we always fed her before.
Yeah, before I was working. And you can't feed a dog on the dole, and you can't feed a family on it either. No, Joe, Lassie's better off.
Maybe she'll get away.
No, lad, nah. The Duke's taken her off to Scotland.
Scotland?
Her and half a dozen other likely show dogs. And as soon as the shows are over, she's to go back to Scotland. And she's never to come to Yorkshire anymore.
Joe hangs his head. Now a castle sits on a cliff overlooking the sea. Words appear, Scotland. In the Duke's kennels, a litter of black Scottish terriers plays in its pen. The puppies have short legs and pointy ears. Nearby, two large, droopy-faced St. Bernards pant. In another pen, a ruddy Irish setter sits by a lanky, short-haired pointer. We see more purebreds, fluffy gray and white sheepdogs, black and brown collies, and mottled gray wolfhounds. Now Hines frowns as he brushes Lassie. He lifts her head harshly.
Keep your head up. Keep it up, I say.
Lassie's ears lie flat. Now Priscilla opens the kennel door and enters. The Duke follows. Both of them wear riding togs.
Good morning, Your Grace, Miss Priscilla.
Priscilla smiles and pets Lassie.
Oh? How is she, Hines?
Oh, looking better, Your Grace. I think it must be this here Scottish air. It seems to agree with her all right.
Her coat could be shinier. Looks a little dull to me.
I think if you try straining her water through some linseed, it would make her look better.
Linseed, Miss Priscilla?
My dear, how did you know about that?
I just happened to know, that's all. Somebody told me, once.
It's an old Yorkshireman's trick, and a very good one. You better try it, Hines.
Yes, sir.
Come along, child, come along. Can't keep the horses waiting all day.
The Duke strides off with Priscilla.
Linseed. Yeah. Keep your head up. Keep it up, will you?
Hines brushes Lassie roughly, then glances over his shoulder. He shoves a collar over Lassie's head and hooks her by a chain to the side of the pen. Scowling, he closes the door and leaves. Lassie lies down against the fence. Smiling softly, Priscilla returns, making her way back to Lassie's pen. Her black curls sway at her shoulders as she retrieves her riding crop. Priscilla notices the chain tethering Lassie to the fence. She peers decisively across the grounds to her grandfather.
Grandfather!
All right, coming, coming.
The Duke leaves two grooms with the horses and walks to the kennels.
Well, I can't even take a ride in peace.
Swinging his crop, the burly man strides over in his shiny brown riding boots.
What? Well, now what's the matter, child?
Lassie, she's chained, Grandfather. She needs exercise, and she can't get it that way.
Hines! Hines!
Coming, Your Grace, coming.
The Duke eyes his skinny servant.
Hines, what's that dog doing on a chain?
Well, sir, I had to do it. Every afternoon, sir, she tears and scratches at a pen and... And she might do herself an injury. And you told me to be sure not let her escape again, sir.
I never said put her on a chain. No dog of mine goes on a chain, understand that. That dog needs exercise.
But, sir, if I let her
Well, put her on a leash and walk with her yourself, you lazy idiot. I want that dog in perfect condition.
Yes, Your Grace.
Never mind what yes, Your Grace. Do as you're told. Come along, child.
As they leave, Hines looks down at Lassie. Tightening his mouth, he walks into her pen and puts his hands on his hips.
So... You have to have a walk, do you, my lady? Well, I'll walk you. Oh, more than walk you.
Later, Hines tugs harshly at Lassie's leash.
Come on, I suppose you'd like to have me late for me tea. Come on.
He stops down a pathway.
Hurry up, will you? You're always hanging behind.
Lassie resists his yanks on the leash and leaps up angrily.
Here, what's the matter? Down. Don't I tell you, can't you? I'll break your bastard neck if you don't behave yourself. Go on.
The leash gives and Lassie trots off.
Lassie!
Lassie faces him.
Nice girl. Nice dog. Don't you move. Stay there. Stay there, Lassie. Here. Nice girl. Stay there now. Don't you move. Come on. Come on, Lassie. That's a nice dog. Here.
Lassie backs away apprehensively.
Come on. Here.
She bolts.
Lassie, come here.
She takes off through the landscape woods. As Hines runs after her, Lassie bounds over stone paths, gaining a 20-foot lead. Hines slides on his bottom down a short hill.
Come here. Lassie, come here. If I ever get my hands on you, my lady, you'll never get away again, I'll tell you. Exercise, exercise. That's what I get for walking you.
She darts under a stone archway. At the entrance to the grounds, Priscilla unlatches a heavy iron gate as her grandfather waits on horseback.
Hold the gate, Priscilla! Hold the gate! Don't let her get out! Hold it! Hold the gate!
She opens the gate wide and Lassie runs through.
Priscilla!
As Hines reaches the gate, Priscilla walks to the road and happily watches Lassie run free.
You've let her go. That's what she's done. She's let her go.
She's going toward south, Grandfather. She's going toward Yorkshire.
By Joe, child, I believe you're right.
Lassie trots down a road dappled with sun and shade, then scampers down a steep, rocky bank to the sea. Delicately, she picks her way among the boulders, walking parallel to the ocean. Farther down the coast, Lassie continues steadily across sunny rocks, her fluffy tail flapping behind her. Waves crash against the shore, sending up plumes of spray. White seafoam rolls over boulders that stand 10 feet high. Lassie hesitates upon a large rounded stone. Eyeing the craggy shore, she moves on, carefully stepping from rock to rock. Lassie leaves bloody footprints as she pads along a rock slab. Slowly, she walks on. Lying down by rushing tide pools, she rests her chin on her forelegs and licks her wounded paw. Stiffly, Lassie stands up, then takes to higher ground, making her way up a hill overlooking the crashing sea. Foggy mountains sprawl in the distance as she walks down a sandy path, bordered by the rocky shore on one side and green and yellow fields on the other. Above her, the sky darkens with gray storm clouds. Now in a forest, Lassie walks past tall ferns whose leaves quiver in the downpour. Lassie's long wet fur clings to her narrow body. She squints in the pelting rain and treads through water 3 inches deep. Reaching a patch of grass, Lassie shakes the rain from her coat. As the thunder rolls, she stops, looks around nervously, then picks up her pace. Entering a small cave, she lies down near the entrance and rests her chin on her muddy white paw. Her ears prick up. Lassie looks deeper into the cave. Sheep huddle in the shadows. Lassie lowers her head and sleeps. Morning. In the blue sky, sunshine edges clouds with golden light. At the mouth of the cave, Lassie raises her head and glances at the sheep gathered against the back wall. Her coat dry and scruffy, she stands and walks into the light. Lassie steps along a narrow woodland path. She stops on a slope overlooking a waterfall and a pool below it that sparkles green in the sunlight. Now, Lassie climbs up a steep hill in front of the waterfall. A tall weathered stump juts from the hillside, parallel to the plummeting water. Reaching a rock ledge, Lassie looks down on a view of lush mountains. trees and evergreen forests. A deep blue lake sits in the valley below. As Lassie looks out regally, her forelegs perched on higher ground, a light breeze stirs the fur on her chest. She moves on. Her fluffy tail bounces as she trots along a hillside covered with heather. Heading toward towering pines, Lassie grows distant and small. Now, Lassie comes to a bridge made of long logs. Pale blue water rolls by below her. Farther along, she trots beside a marshy lake edged with tall grass. Offshore, a stand of trees forms an island, and steel-gray mountains loom in the distance. A rainbow curves down, following the arc of the hills. Lassie steps to the water's edge and laps from the shallows. Later, she walks along a crumbling stone wall. Nearby, a sign nailed on a tree reads, "Reward." A reward of £1 will be paid for the head and feet of any dog found killing my sheep. Duncan McKenzie, owner. On the hillside above, two men sit in a makeshift lean-to, holding rifles. A black dog sits nearby. Far below, Lassie leaps a gate and starts up the hill. The men and their dog rise warily to their feet.
Whisht. Over there.
Aye. There.
Let him have it, lad. Fly, lad, let fly.
One man aims at Lassie.
I cannot do it. It doesn't look like one of they devils to me.
Oh, it's a stray. You've got a right to shoot.
Well, let's see whether it gangs near the sheep first. If it does...
Oh, shoot it.
Two flocks graze on the hillside. Lassie walks between them. Then stops.
There, it's seen us.
Lassie runs.
Let him have it.
She stumbles.
I hit it.
You didn't. Let it go.
One man unleashes his black sheepdog and it charges down the hill. The two men follow, grabbing their guns. As Lassie trots along a ridge of saplings, the black dog runs at full tilt, its ears standing straight up. Near dense trees, the dog catches up with Lassie and pounces. Locked together by their front paws, the two dogs twist and struggle, tumbling down the steep hillside. The black dog leaps, shoving Lassie on her back. Lassie's white legs flail as the black dog pins her to the ground, his jaws clenched around her neck. Now the two shepherds cross the ridge. They stop and peer downhill at the fighting dogs. One man takes aim.
Can I try shooting now, John? You might hit my Satan.
The black dog scampers safely out of the dense woods.
Unless I'm mistaken, Andrew, there goes your Satan now.
Now, Lassie steps into the clearing, panting and disheveled.
Now, John, now shoot.
Lassie looks toward the men, turns back to the woods, and walks away. Ready to fire, Jock peers down the gun barrel, then slowly lowers the weapon.
Lushman, why did you no shoot?
Well, she were a brave dog. And she were going somewhere. And besides, I couldn't shoot for I forgot to load up again.
Forget? Should think a soldier'd never forget to load up again after he's fired?
Well, laddie, you see, we have so many things to remember.
As Andrew walks away, Jock pulls back the gun bolt. He rolls a bullet out of the chamber, pockets it, and follows his friend. Back in the Karaclough cottage, Sam and Helen admire a shiny red pencil box filled with new school supplies.
It's wonderful the things they have nowadays. There were no pencils when I were a lad. We had only slates.
Helen hides it behind her as Joe comes downstairs.
Morning, Father. Morning, Mother.
Many happy returns, Joe.
Thank you, Mother.
Leslie, lad. Joe, we've got a surprise for thee, lad.
Have three guesses.
Lassie!
Joe searches the house.
Lassie! 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 Lassie!
faces his parents.
It isn't Lassie, Joe. It's just this.
She hands him the pencil box, and Joe opens it. His mother grins and watches intently as his father looks on with a wary gaze. Joe looks up at them.
Mother, it's Champion. Thank you. Thank you, Father. It's Champion.
Joe turns away and walks upstairs, leaving his parents staring at the floor. Now, in a flooded stretch of forest, Lassie steps into murky brown water. Her underbelly and legs are covered with mud. Before her, the rippling floodwaters reflect bright green leaves above. Lassie wades into the water and begins to swim. Her sleek face skims smoothly above the shiny surface. Keeping her long, fine snout just above the water, Lassie dog paddles past a tree in the shadows. Nearing a stand of thick, bent trees, she boosts herself up on a submerged trunk, then swims on into a patch of sunlight. Lassie's body bobs gently as she paddles. A stirring wake fans out behind her. She glides past more trees, then a tangle of dead branches that touch the surface of the water. Sunlight flickers on a gnarly tree trunk that stands tilted in the water. Lassie swims in and out of the green shadows, gazing ahead at a larger pool of light. The flooded forest gives way to sunlit water. Lassie leaves the swamp glade and swims out into an open river. Steadily, Lassie paddles on. As the river curves, she makes her way to the far bank, overgrown with brush. Reaching a tangle of submerged roots, Lassie struggles to find her footing. Slowly, she climbs ashore. Her wet fur clings to her slender frame as she pulls herself safely onto dry land and gives her coat a shake. Lassie takes a few strained steps, resting on her way up the steep bank. Thin and muddy, she staggers up toward a small clearing of straw-colored grass. A brisk wind off the river tosses her fur. Tall grass waves around her as she lies down. Night. Ominous gray clouds fill the dark sky and let loose a torrential downpour. Elsewhere, the rain comes down on a cottage and puddles around an outdoor pump by a small fence. A warm light glows from the windows. Inside, an elderly man and woman sit at either side of a fireplace.
Stan, don't you hear something?
Huh?
Down by the chickens.
The door of the chicken coop's a bit loose. If I weren't so lazy, I'd have fixed it long since.
He returns to his newspaper. Frowning, his wife starts to knit, then stops.
There again. There is something. If you won't go and see who's after your chickens, Daniel Fadden, I will.
No, sit down. If you want me to go, I'll go. I'll look around, or you won't be sleeping tonight.
Daniel Fadden walks to the door. Next to it hangs his rain slicker, cap, and a gas lantern, which he lights. Outside, the storm rages. Holding the glowing lantern, Daniel slowly makes his way through the cottage yard and opens the gate. Leaning on the pump, he holds up his lantern. Lassie lies on her side in the mud.
Daddy! Daddy!
All right, Dan. I'm coming.
Dally grabs a shawl from a hook and walks out into the storm, her head and shoulders covered. As she steps across the sodden ground, Daniel lights her way, then swings the lantern toward Lassie.
Now, who left you out on a night like this? Dana, I think we have to carry.
Later, Dan'l towels Lassie off as Dally spoons milk into her mouth.
That's the last of the milk, Dally. Won't be any for your tea tomorrow morning.
It won't matter, Dan. I often think we do things just from habit. In America now, they say that they always drink their tea without milk.
That's because they haven't learned any better. Do you know, Dally, I do believe she swam the river.
Swam the river? Whatever makes you think that?
I saw her draggly trail all through the mud. It came from the river.
Did you swim the river, girl? Did you swim all that way to get from Scotland into England?
She dips her spoon into the milk and holds it to Lassie's mouth, then looks up with alarm.
Dan?
Hmm?
She doesn't seem to be swallowing.
What?
Do you think she's dying?
I don't know, Dally. Best thing we can do is just to let her be.
Dan?
Hmm?
I think I'll sit up with her tonight.
Now, Dally, you've done your best.
But she might need some help. She's such a bonny dog, Dan. Such a bonny dog.
Covered with a blanket, Lassie gazes up at her. Daytime. Dally sits in a stuffed rocker by the fire, knitting. Lassie lies nearby, all cleaned up. As Dally glances at the door, Lassie sits up too. Dan'l comes in, hangs up his cap, and lays a hand on Dally's shoulder.
Well, Dan?
Well, Dally, I've asked all around the place, everywhere. Nobody seems to have lost her.
Then she's ours. Dan, you're ours, girl. We've given them their chance, Dan. Now she's ours.
Well, now, Dally, they might pass by chance and see her. So don't you
She's ours now, Dan. And I'm keeping her in the house or locking her in the back garden and not letting anyone see her.
How about the owner?
If it hadn't been for us, she'd have been dead now. We're her owners.
Now, Joe lies in bed, bathed in soft blue light. He blinks, then looks toward his bedroom window, open to the moonlight. Slowly he gets up and kneels by the window in his nightshirt. With his elbows on the sill, Joe rests his chin on his hands and gazes out into the night. Daytime. In the Faddens' tiny cottage, the mantel clock reads 5 minutes to four. Lassie lies on the rug. Panting, she raises her head and looks around alertly. In a chair by the window, Dally lowers her knitting and leans toward Lassie.
What's the matter, girl?
Lassie trots over and stands at the door, wagging her tail. Dally peers through small wire glasses, her brow knit with concern. Lassie paces back and puts her front paws on a window seat.
Now, girl, you don't want to go out again. Come back here and lie down.
She pets Lassie, then glances at the mantel clock.
Better put the kettle on.
Dally walks toward an adjoining room, then turns back. Lassie trots to the door and leaps at the latch. She paws at the door, then looks at Dally.
What's wrong with you, girl? You've been out for a nice walk with me on a string. Surely you can lie down now.
Dally leaves. Lassie trots restlessly to the window and puts her front paws on the seat. She circles back to the door and scrapes her paw on it again. Lowering her head, she walks to the rug and lies down. Later, Dan'l stands in front of the fireplace, wearing a rumpled gray suit. Sitting near him, Dally puts down a cup of tea, raises her spectacles to her eyes, and looks at the clock. Lassie lies at her feet.
Dally, I think you're daft.
I tell you, she's not happy here.
Nonsense. Every time she winks an eyebrow, you think she's got the measles or the plague or I don't know what. There, now, see, she's all right.
But every afternoon it's the same.
Hmm?
She's not happy here. Dan, do you know what I think?
What?
I think she's sorry for us. So she just puts up with us. Like she's too polite to run unless we tell her to go.
Now, Dally, no dog can be full of things like that. like human things?
My herself can. You don't know her, Dan. You see, Dan, I know about this dog. I know something.
What?
She's going somewhere. She's on her way.
Oh, now, woman, what fences are you building up in your mind?
No, I don't care. I know. Me and herself, we both know. She just stopped here, like at a hospital or a wayside inn. But now, she wants to be on her way. Only, she's too polite and understanding. She doesn't want to hurt us.
All right, Harry. If at 4 o'clock she makes up her mind to go, then all right.
The clock reads 6 minutes to 4. Holding a pipe in his hand, Dan'l sits in his chair and watches Lassie, who raises her head, then lowers it.
I believe it was a flea.
There are no fleas in herself, I'd have you know.
Frowning, Dally watches Lassie. The collie slowly raises her head again, tilting it keenly. Her ears twitch as she looks around the room. Dan'l clutches his pipe and glances at Dally, who sits with her hands in her apron. Lassie shifts restlessly, then stands. She goes to the door and wags her tail, looking back at the Faddens. Dally turns to Dan'l, who nods and rises.
I do believe it's time.
Stepping toward the door, the old man takes Dally's hand, and she rises to her feet. Together, they walk outside with Lassie and linger by the fence under a blue sky. Dally pats Lassie on the head and opens the gate. The collie trots away down the front path. Lassie stops and looks back at the couple.
All right then, dog. If you must go, away with you.
Dan'l puts his arm around Dally, who gazes after Lassie.
Goodbye, herself. Goodbye. Good luck.
I'll put a lamp in the window, Dally, for tonight. Like, perchance, she's just gone for a long run.
Arm in arm, the Faddens walk back to their cottage. Later, Lassie walks among tall, dark trees. Soft rays of sunlight angle onto the golden-brown forest floor. A horse stands tethered in the distance, near a wooden-covered wagon that reads, Rowley Palmer Pots and Pans. Beside the wagon, a short, stocky man lathers his face with shaving cream.
I dreamt that I dwelt in marble halls with vassals and serfs by my side. And of all those assembled within those walls...
Lassie stops and looks at Rowley's campfire. Meat sizzles in a skillet next to an iron kettle. Licking her chops, Lassie pads forward, then sits several yards away. Later, Rowley loops a string tie around his neck and passes by the wagon door.
Whoa! Toots! Toots! Come on, then!
A small shaggy dog with tan fur trots out, holding Rowley's cap.
Thank you, Gil. Thank you.
He gives Toots a treat.
There. You know, in many ways, Toots, you're better than a wife. You're neat, you're clean, and when you're around, a man gets no back chat. Well, we best be going.
Donning his cap, Rowley walks over to his horse. On a platform at the wagon's rear, Toots lies down in the sun for a nap. As Lassie takes a few steps closer, Toots opens her black eyes. Lassie sits, panting in the sun, and Toots raises her head. Rowley returns.
What's the matter, Toots? Eh?
He spots Lassie and smiles broadly.
Come on, girl. Come on.
Lassie licks her chops.
Oh, so you've smelt food, eh? Well, there's plenty for all of us, isn't there, Toots? Here,
uncle.
As Rowley approaches with a piece of meat, Lassie paces nervously, keeping her distance.
Come on, then. You're frightened.
Lassie takes a step closer.
I won't hurt you. Well, I'll leave food here for you. You can eat it up at your leisure. Aye.
Rowley places the meat on the ground and walks away, grinning. Keeping one eye on Lassie, he breaks down the camp stove and packs it in the wagon. Lassie walks slowly toward the meat, gives it a sniff, then looks at Rowley. The stocky man folds up the wagon platform's supports and takes in the short step ladder attached to it.
She's a well-trained dog, isn't she, Toots, eh? She'll not make friends with strangers. Nay, no take food from her, either. Still, perhaps we can make friends with her, eh, Toots? Hmm? What do you say, eh? What do you say? What's that old proverb? A friend in need is a friend indeed, eh? Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Rowley sits, holding an enamelware plate.
She'll be friendly like when she smells this. Won't she, Toots, eh?
Rowley waves a shiny strip of liver. Lassie licks her chops.
You bet she will. Get up, Stogie. Get up, then.
As the horse pulls the wagon, Rowley dangles the meat.
There's a type that's shy and canny, but I think she's coming near.
Lassie follows.
Aye, she may be fearful, canny, but we'll overcome her fear. Aye, she may be fearful, canny, but we'll overcome her fear.
Later, Rowley sits in the driver's seat of the covered wagon as it makes its dawdling way down a country road lined with grand trees. Lassie follows, then breaks off at a fork in the road. Toots peeks over the rail.
Whoa, Stucky, whoa!
Rowley pulls on the reins, then looks around the rail at Lassie, who sits in the road.
My lady don't want to go this way, Toots. Sitting there like a graven image, she is. Looks like she wants to take to the road. And what would you do if a friend of yours wanted to take to the road, eh? Aye, that's right. Aye. I can just as well go round Godsey's by Mendel.
Rowley turns the wagon back toward Lassie and starts down the other road. Lassie watches, sitting on her haunches. Her fluffy coat is clean and healthy. She follows eagerly. Evening in the forest. The wagon is parked by a river. Rowley brings a bowl of food to Lassie.
Here's your dinner. Eat it up.
Lassie licks her chops but doesn't move. As Rowley takes a few steps back and sits on a stump, Lassie cautiously walks over to the bowl and begins to eat. Rowley smiles and looks down at Toots. The shaggy little dog gazes at him, then at Lassie.
Didn't I say we knew a thing or two about tykes, eh, Toots? Throw meat on the road and it's no go. She's a lady, Toots, and I'll only be eating out of bowls. Not like you and me. I'm afraid we'll have to mend our table manners, Toots. Aye. Here's a few more words you can mark down, Toots. Before the end of the week, she'll be helping us in our act. Yeah. Yeah, come on then.
Yeah. Toots leaps into his lap and Rowley kisses her. Later, Rowley helps Toots onto the wagon's driver's seat. Lassie watches.
Coming along, girl. Come on.
Rowley nods in Lassie's direction and climbs aboard. As the wagon pulls away, Lassie follows. Later, in a village square, Rowley stands on the wagon's rear platform wearing a suede cap and suit. trimmed with dozens of copper buttons. Men, women, and children surround him as he waves a copper pot. Lassie sits by the wagon wheel at the edge of the crowd.
Bones and pots, I've got lots. Bring out your penny or you won't get any. Come on. Come on, ladies, do me bashful, step up. You all know me, Rowley Palmer. I come here every year and I feel that, feel a
bit
of it. How
much?
Couple of bob, lady, to you. A couple of bob and cheap at the price.
How much is it?
A bob. Tea for two for a bob. Here, stepped on by elephants.
He holds up a jug.
Yes, kicked by hippopotami. It's that strong you couldn't break it with an axe.
When does Tush do her tricks, Mr. Palmer?
Why, immediately, my little love, immediately. Now make way there, will you? Give the dog a bit of room. Let the dog see the rabbit immediately. Toots will come out and Toots will surprise you.
Rowley climbs down and tosses out rings and a big ball.
There, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hurry, Toots.
Toots trots into the cleared space, sits attentively, and wags her bushy tail.
Why, hurry, Toots, you can begin now. Why, what's the matter, eh? Oh, you're waiting for someone, eh? Her Majesty hasn't arrived for command performance, is that it, eh? Why, here she comes now.
Lassie joins the spectators.
Now, Toots, go and pick up Blue Ring.
Wagging her curly little tail, Toots steps across the cobblestone, takes the blue ring in her mouth, and trots back.
Now then, not many little dogs would go through this hoop, but you could, couldn't you, Toots? Hey, come on.
Rowley holds out the 9-inch ring.
Come on.
Delicately, Toots jumps through it, then jumps back through again.
Now, Toots, how about a nice ride on ball?
The townspeople lean in with broad smiles on their faces. Toots scampers over to a big leather ball and jumps on top. Finding her balance, she walks the ball over the cobblestone, taking tiny steps with her furry feet. Lassie watches as Toots hops off and returns to the wagon.
But doesn't the collie do anything?
Why, you wouldn't expect royalty to perform, would ye, eh? Would you like to do some work, Bill? Would you like to pick up these things? Pick up these things! May it please your majesty, as a favor to me, will you please pick up the things?
As Rowley bows, doffing his cap, Lassie promenades around the circle of townspeople. Wagging her tail, she picks up the leather ball by its stitching. She sets it by the wagon. At the edge of the square, two tramps stop to watch.
You see? Always remember to say please and you get more in this world. Well, thank you, ladies. Goodbye, one and all. Show's over. I'll be back again next year.
Grand! I love to see you from me pot!
The tramps eye Rowley.
Doing all right, ain't he?
Not half, he ain't.
Don't forget money back if not satisfied, the nose.
As Rowley counts his money, Lassie brings him the colored rings.
That's a good dog. Hey, there. I think she'll be an addition to our act, don't you, Toots? Hey.
Now, Rowley drives the wagon out of town as smiling customers wave their pots and pans. One of the tramps rubs his fingers together. The other nods, and they walk off. Rowley's wagon rolls past graceful trees with broad, gnarled trunks. Later, Rowley hops down from the parked wagon, looks up at Toots, and pats his chest.
Here, come on. Come on, that's a girl. There, you've been good dogs. Go and play. You did a good show today.
Toots and Lassie run to a kit box mounted up under the wagon chassis and pull down a rag. They tussle in the leaves and play tug of war. Lassie gets the rag and disappears into the woods. Toots follows her. Now, Toots comes out of the woods with the rag in her mouth. Lassie runs after her, catches up, and tries to wrestle the rag free. Evening. Rowley sits by flickering firelight, smoking his pipe. Toots and Lassie rest beside him. Rowley puts a piece of meat on the ground by Lassie's nose. she ignores it.
Oh, excuse me, milady. I forgot. Pardon me, Your Majesty. Yeah. Hey, she's a fine dog, Toots, but she'll never be as smart as thee, my sweetheart. Hey. Mucky weather, eh, if I know it. Smells like winter to me, Toots. There's the smell of snow. Ah, well, we'll be getting home soon. There'll be a warm fire in the hearth waiting us. And roasting chestnuts. And a good bone for you. And maybe a nip or two of something invigorating for me.
As Raleigh puffs on his pipe, the feet of two men creep through the woods. Raleigh stands and peers into the darkness as the shadowy figures approach. The two tramps step into the clearing, holding thick walking sticks.
Hold your dog. It's all right. I ain't doing nothing.
Quiet, both on you. Get back.
That's good of you, mate. What do you have in tea?
Aye.
Oh, ain't that nice. Could you just spare two homeless chaps what's looking for work a couple of swallows to warm them up?
He steps toward the wagon.
No, you don't.
They brandish the sticks.
Where is it? And if you're nice and hands it over without any trouble, we won't even hurt you, will we, Snickers?
Of course not, Buckles. We won't so much as touch you.
That's right. But if you're looking for trouble, we'll let you have it. Come on, where is it?
Well, if you'll just give me time, I'll hand it right over to you.
With a stiff smile on his weathered face, Rowley backs toward the wagon seat. The tramps take a few steps closer, holding their sticks. Rowley bumps into the wagon, snatches up his own stick, and rushes them. Blocking one tramp's blow, he whacks the man's hand. The tramp drops his weapon, and Rowley knees him into a tree. The other tramp swings his stick overhead. Rowley deflects it and whacks the man aside. Now the first tramp attacks again. As Rowley kicks him, the other man clubs Rowley from behind. Lassie leaps at one of the tramps, but the man dodges. She charges again. The tramp whacks her, and she retreats.
Go on, before I give you another one.
Lassie heads off. Now Rowley staggers to his feet and swings at the tramp. The villain strikes Rowley's head, and Rowley falls to the ground, bleeding. Toots grabs the tramp's trouser leg. Sneering, the man flails his ankle, dragging the little dog back and forth. He lifts his stick and swings it down at Toots.
You blooming little rat!
Rowley gets up.
You dirty swine.
As Rowley attacks one of the men, Lassie joins the fight. She leaps at the other man's chest. Taking him down, she wrestles ferociously. Beside her, Rowley stands pinned against the wagon, striking out with his stick and grimacing in pain. Now, Lassie backs her opponent toward the campfire, then knocks him into it. He leaps up and runs off. Lassie pursues. As Lassie returns, Rowley slams his stick into the remaining tramp's stomach. Reeling, the tramp flees into the woods.
Come back, girl. Come back.
Rowley stands in his rumpled suit, clutching his stick. Lassie walks past him to Toots, who lies by a tree. Lassie sniffs around her, then walks off. Leaning forward, Rowley walks slowly over to the small, motionless body of his dog. Kneeling, Rowley puts down his stick and carefully lifts Toots into his arms. Her long, curly bangs drop away from her eyes as her head hangs over Rowley's hand. Bringing his face close to her, Rowley grimaces and shakes his head.
You were a good one, weren't you?
Lassie looks on, her ears lying flat.
You were a good one.
Rowley buries his face in Toots's fur. Daytime. Rowley's wagon lumbers down a country lane strewn with leaves. Lassie trots along behind. At a fork in the road, the wagon bears right. Lassie lingers by a wooden road sign. Rowley stops and looks back at her.
Will you come up and sit beside me, Your Majesty? Will you keep me company going home? Eh?
Rowley hops down from the wagon and walks toward Lassie. She meets him in the road, wagging her tail.
Come here, you man.
As Rowley kneels and pets her, Lassie puts a paw on his chest.
You won't come then, eh? Well, perhaps it's best at that. I'd like to go on with ye, but stock's low and I must be getting back home for winter. Besides, you'd never really fit in with me like Toots did, and you'd always be reminding me of her. Not that you haven't been a good dog. Aye, you understand a lot, don't you? Well, forgive me. At first I thought you were a coward, but it's not that. Nay, there's somewhat else about thee, my lass, and I'd dearly love to be inside thy mind and know what it is. That's the pity of it. You can understand some of man's language, but man isn't bright enough to understand thine. And yet it's us that's supposed to be the most intelligent. You know, sometimes I think you didn't come along with me as much as you let me come along with you, as long as our roads lay together. And now, well, you'll be off about whatever business it is you're on. I'll be lonely. No thee, and no Toots. But then I always did say, if a man doesn't like to be alone, he shouldn't never pick the job of travelling better. Goodbye, eh? Well, may luck go with thee. Off you go.
He points off toward the left road. As Lassie trots away, Rowley stands by his wagon, watching her. Lassie hesitates a few yards down the road and looks back at Rowley.
On you go, then. And good luck.
Rowley squints, rubbing the back of his neck. He watches Lassie trot away, her sleek form passing from shade to sunlight. Later, Lassie pads along a busy sidewalk past a brick wall. A black truck pulls up with lettering on its door, City Dog Home. A man gets out.
Thomas, it's a likely looking collie.
Aye, and he's got no license on it.
One man grabs a long pole with a loop on the end and crosses the street with the driver. Lassie steps past pedestrians, then stops and glances back. The dog catchers pick up their pace behind her. Lassie runs down the sidewalk, then stops at an intersection. Darting down an alley, she enters a dingy loading area by a few barrels and crates. Concrete steps lead to an open door. The men close in, and Lassie runs inside the building. Bounding up an indoor stairwell, Lassie races through a stockroom. As the men hike the stairs, Lassie weaves deftly under a dozen elegant tables. Behind her, the dog catchers shuffle awkwardly around the tables. Now, Lassie reaches a room lined with barrels and crates. Daylight shines in through an open window. Cornering her, one dog catcher stalks closer with a looped pole, and Lassie leaps out the second floor window. Leaning out of the window, the dog catchers glance at one another, then withdraw. In the empty lot, Lassie lies on her side. She twitches, then stands. Keeping her front left paw from touching the ground, she limps on three legs. She goes behind a stack of barrels and lies down. Back at the Karaclough cottage, Sam comes in and takes off his cap. He walks stiffly over to his chair and sits down. Helen looks up from sewing at the table.
No luck, Sam.
No luck. And the hole in my right shoe for my pains. I must have worked 20 miles today. No work, they say, and hundreds out of work like you.
Do you know what Joe says?
Joe?
Aye. He says Lassie took our luck. He does say that when Lassie were home, things were better.
There's no luck about it. When a man wants work and can't get it, a summit more than luck.
I know. There's no sense to it. I was just saying what Joe said. He's a good lad, Sam.
He is a good lad.
Sam pulls his worn boot back on and bends down wearily to tie it. Mrs. Karaclough looks up from her sewing. Sam meets her gaze, and they dash for the door. Outside, Lassie stands on the stoop, her coat filthy, her wounded paw held in midair. She wags her tail. She enters and stands by the Karacloughs. Sam reaches down and pets her head. Slowly, Lassie limps over to the rug by the hearth and lies down.
She's come all the way from Scotland.
They sit on the floor by Lassie, who lies on her side and doesn't move. Sam picks up her wounded paw and examines it.
Poor, poor dog. She must have traveled hundreds of miles.
Sam checks the rest of Lassie's body. Mrs. Karaclough strokes her back.
You'd better get her a little milk.
There isn't any milk, Sam. Bit of stew for supper.
Well, is it too good for her?
No, of course not.
Clutching her shawl, she leaps to the cupboard below the sink and takes out Lassie's bowl.
I kept it for her, Sam. I don't know why.
She steps over to an iron stove in the fireplace and ladles out some stew. Mrs. Karaclough hands the bowl to Sam, who lifts Lassie's head and brings the stew to her nose. Lassie licks her chops but turns her head away.
Poor thing, she hasn't eaten for so long she can't. Well, we've got to scrape up enough somewhere for a little milk.
Mrs. Karaclough nods firmly, then jumps up and goes to the window. The Duke helps Priscilla from the carriage.
Don't be long, Rogers.
Sam, it's the Duke. He must have heard.
He'll not have her.
What shall we do?
Sam helps Lassie up and leads her to a closed door.
Hurry, Sam, hurry.
Sam opens the door, guides Lassie in, and closes the door behind her.
If she wants our lad and our home as bad as this, then here she shall stay.
Good day, Mrs. Carrington.
Good day, Your Grace, sir. Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you. Come along, Priscilla.
The young lady enters first.
Good day, dear Carrington.
Good day, sir.
Priscilla tugs her grandfather's sleeve.
All right.
Mrs. Carrington, this is my little granddaughter, Priscilla.
How do you do, child?
This is Mr. Carrington.
How do you do, Miss?
Carrington, about my dog.
Dog, sir?
Yes, Lassie. She got away, Karaclough.
Oh. Lassie listens.
Well, that's too bad, sir. Isn't it, Helen?
It is a pity, indeed.
Hey.
I thought there was a chance, very slight, that she...
We haven't set eyes on her, sir. No, sir.
We'll be lucky if we ever get another dog like her.
Yes, sir, indeed we will. She was a fine dog.
Priscilla tugs his sleeve again.
Huh? Who is it? Oh, by the way, Karaclough, are you working?
Working, sir?
Yes, a job, do you understand?
Well, now, it's like this.
Not exactly, sir. There are three or four things he's been considering, but he hasn't quite said yes or no to any of them yet.
Oh, really? Well, you better say no and say it quickly. I need a follow-up at my kennels, and I think, Karaclough, that you're the very fellow for the job.
I, sir? I, to get paid for working with dogs...
Well, will you take the job?
Well, you see, I...
Of course he will, sir.
He will? Good, splendid, excellent. We'll make the judges at Crufts it up, won't we, Karaclough?
Indeed we will, sir.
Sam and Helen stop smiling, their eyes shifting nervously. Priscilla stares toward the closed door as her grandfather's eyes widen.
What was that?
What was what, sir?
Helen rolls her eyes and takes Sam's arm.
Just a minute.
Sam takes Helen's hand as the Duke strides to the closed door. He opens it, and Lassie limps out onto the hearth rug. The Duke kneels at her side.
No, sir, you're wrong, sir. If you're thinking it's Lassie, sir, you're entirely wrong. No, sir, how could a poor dog come all the way from Scotland, sir?
Just a minute, Colonel.
Yes, sir. You can see that's just a poor tyke we picked up on the road, sir. You can see that's not the dog, sir. She has no breeding, no blood. No breeding and no blood, sir, you see.
That'll do, Karakloff.
Yes, sir.
Priscilla.
Yes, Grandfather.
Priscilla, have you ever seen this dog before?
The Duke gives a sly wink and Priscilla hides a smile. Wide-eyed, she looks down at Lassie.
No, Grandfather.
Oh, neither have I. I thought for a minute, but I was mistaken. This is no dog of mine. Upon my soul and honor, this dog never belonged to me. Come along, he's
got to go. Sam and Helen trade a joyful grin.
Oh, Karakoff?
Yes, sir.
That dog looks to me as if she needs a lot of care.
Yeah, she does that, sir.
She'll get all the care she needs up at my kennels.
Indeed she will, sir.
Well, goodbye, Karakoff. I'm so glad you're going to be with me.
Thank you, Your Grace.
Goodbye, Mr. Karakoff.
Goodbye, Grace.
Come along, child.
Goodbye, child. Thank you, sir.
Beaming, Sam turns back to Helen.
Son, do you think he knew?
Bless ye. He knew. She's our Joe's lassie again. We'll soon have thee well again, girl.
Lassie sits up, her ears twitching. Sam and Helen glance at the clock, which reads 4:10. Lassie pulls herself up, limps to the door, and drags her paw down it. Sam grins and watches.
She wants to meet Joe. But the poor thing's so weak. We shouldn't let her go, Sam.
Eh? But she's walked hundreds of miles to see our lad. I'll not rob her of that now.
Then wait.
She hands him Lassie's braided collar.
So he'll know.
Eh?
As Lassie stands with her paw in the air, Sam pulls the collar over her head. Helen watches with a soft smile, clutching her plaid shawl.
Off you go.
Lassie limps through the open door and steps gingerly across the yard. Sam and Helen come out on the stoop and watch as the muddy collie walks through the gate and down the road. Later in town, Lassie limps up the cobblestone street. The butcher looks on in wonder, pulls a pocket watch from under his striped apron, and smiles. Passing villagers stop to gaze as Lassie hobbles purposefully uphill. The cobbler stands in his doorway and gives an admiring nod. Now in the schoolyard, Lassie limps through the gate and takes her place by the massive tree, its autumn branches dotted with a few dry leaves. As Lassie lies down, children stream out of the school. Joe steps slowly from the large doorway and stops short. Lassie struggles to her feet, holding up her injured paw. Joe gapes and slowly steps closer. As Lassie limps toward him, Joe breaks into a run.
Lassie!
He hugs her.
Come home.
Squeezing her fur in his fingers, Joe rubs his cheek on Lassie's head. Summertime. At the Duke's estate, Priscilla and Joe ride bicycles. Lassie runs behind them. Behind her, 5 collie puppies toddle on their short, fluffy legs. They stop to rest in the sun and watch Lassie catch up to Joe and Priscilla. Fade to black. Words appear over a painting of Lassie on the English countryside. The end.